Business credit is a secret weapon that's one of the most underutilized resources that a small business can have. It's not going to cure every problem you have, but it's if used correctly, when you have, good business credit, it can really make a huge difference.
Welcome to Action Takers Unscripted, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of real estate investing, entrepreneurship, and life. I'm Arsenio Hart, your host and fellow action taker on this exhilarating journey. If you're ready to break free of the ordinary, seize opportunities, and conquer the challenges that is in real estate, entrepreneurship, and life, then you're in the right place. Each episode will be bringing you inspiring stories, invaluable insights from entrepreneurs, real estate investors, and individuals who transformed their lives through taking bold action. So get ready, take notes, because here we're going to be learning, we're going to be growing, and we're going to be taking action. So without further ado, let's dive right into today's episode.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another show, another exciting episode of Action Takers Unscripted. Today, I am your host, and I have a guest with the name of Murray Bollier. How you doing today, Murray?
Awesome, Arsenio, you nailed it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm glad to have you on today. I know you reached out to me via Yona West's challenge via LinkedIn, and I am excited to have you on because today, if you don't know, which you probably don't know, so audience members, listen up. We have the pleasure of learning about business credit and kind of the differences of business credit versus personal credit. And not only that, we're going to dive into what it is, what you can do to grow within your business credit against your EIN. And if you have an EIN, and just there's a lot of incredible information that Murray's going to share. So I really, really, really would like for you to just take a listen. It's going to be an incredible episode. It's going to be an awesome episode. And I'm sure Murray's got some incredible stories to share with you, with us. And we're going to learn through the process. So Murray, please, can you give us a little background of who you are, where you come from, and what you do in this business?
So before I do that, I want to thank you, Arsenio. One of the cool things about LinkedIn is you get to meet like-minded people. There's some awesome talent on LinkedIn, awesome people. If you want to fish, you got to go where the fish are, you know? So I'm grateful to meet Arsenio, who's the guy is always willing to give. You know, he gives more than he takes, and that's why he's going to crush it. He resonated with me. An active duty Marine sharing information about real estate investing. I mean, I'm a veteran. I wish I'd have met Arsenio 30 years ago, man. My whole life would have changed because he's given out some gold, particularly if you're a veteran or if you're active duty. I mean, it can be done. So I applaud you, Arsenio. You're doing the world a great service, and it's only going to get better. He's a family guy. Anyway, glad to
thank you so much, Murray. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so
well,
much.
Sure.
From the bottom
sure.
of my heart, thank you.
Sure. So I was, like I said, I'll throw this in there. I went to Notre Dame. Fighting Irish. And I was a freshman when Rudy actually went on the field and played in that game. That's the famous 5 minutes at the end of the movie. Now, no one knew what the hell was going on, but we all were chanting Rudy. The movie is a little bit exaggerated, but the whole point is still valid. And, you know, we didn't know that. Who knew what was going to happen? No one knew what was going on, you know. But anyway, I like to tell people that because they remember that, you know. Anyway,
Rudy,
yeah. And no one knew what that meant. And no one knew who he was. We had to read about it in the paper the next day. So it was a little bit glamorized in the movie, but that's okay. The point was still, you know, the whole situation overall was accurate. And, you know, I've watched it a million times and I always cry at the end. But anyway, I went in the Army for 5 years. I was a quartermaster officer, and then I had a 35-year corporate career in three different Fortune 500 companies in manufacturing finance. So I was the controller of a site that manufactured, you know, electronics. Texas Instruments, I know people have heard of them. Raytheon, we built Patriot missiles. I was there. And the last 17 years, I was at a company that no one's ever heard of, but there's a $12 billion company called Analog Devices, which makes semiconductors up in Boston, where I am now. I'm in New Hampshire. And, complex stuff, labor, machinery, vendors, supplies, all subcontractors, manufacturing partners. I did all this finance. The reason I'm telling you this is not to try to brag, but it's because finance is a complex topic. And you can be an expert in one thing, but there's, I didn't know anything about personal business credit or personal credit or business credit. Right. I knew I was an ace on how to, ma manage the, this factory financially. And, we did great things and we had a great team. Luckily, I had people a lot smarter than me. I was the guy who could talk. And I had a whole bunch of smart people behind the scenes. But what I'm going to share with you today is mind blowing. And I think the average response I get when I share what I'm going to share here, because there is no manual on this, is where were you 30 years ago? So I want to educate. I would love to have this opportunity. I'm grateful to Arsenio for allowing me a stage and a microphone to help investors and business owners understand the power of separating business credit from personal credit and growing your business credit profile against your EIN and not against your social security number. That does two big things. We'll start at this high level, Arsenio.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, please, man.
It does two big things for you.
Okay.
And I think when you hear this, then you might want to lean in, So when you separate your personal credit from your business credit and you build a profile against your EIN number, by the way, there's not really a manual on how to do this, but it does two big things. Number one, it eliminates the need for personal guarantees, right? If you
Can
have
you
anything,
elaborate on that?
yeah. So when you Just about every loan, if you go into a bank and try to get a loan, whether it's a mortgage or, any standard loan, you're putting your social security number on the application, right? And if you do it for a business, even though you have a LLC, a common setup for business, LL stands for limited liability. So
Limiting.
the whole reason one would set an LLC up is for possible tax purposes, but also to limit the liability. So, but what really happens is even if you have an LLC and you apply for a loan and the bank says, oh, yeah, we have business loans. Here's the application. And at the bottom, it says, we need your social security number to apply for the loan. When you put your social security number on the application, you break the corporate veil of protection that the LLC is supposed that you intended the LLC to provide, and it puts you on the hook if something happens to the loan that you can't pay it off, God forbid, something it could be out of your control, like COVID, like the or something internal to your business. But let's even if you have a great business, but something like COVID happens, if your social security number is on there and you're unable to pay back the loan, you are putting your personal assets at risk. And I'm talking about your home, your 401k, your savings, your college fund, whatever, right? Because that's banks are in the business of personal guarantees. They it's a loans are highly regulated, especially when it comes to small business. They consider that a, and when I say small business, I'm including investors. Those are considered fairly risky loans. So they make you jump through hoops with all kinds of check marks. Give me your statements, all this stuff, right? And if something happens, they want to get their money back. So when I say personal guarantees, I mean, they'll come after you if something happens. And, that's a very stressful thing for a business owner or an investor. It's stressful and it just seems unfair because you know that big business, when they take a loan, they don't, what's his name? Jeff Bezos, Amazon, he's not putting his assets at risk, when he gets a loan for Amazon, right? It's the small businesses, the small investors that, that we want to try to level the playing field for. because you know they're putting their stuff at risk when they do that. And I just want people to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back. Does that answer your question
that
about
answered the question perfectly. And I don't think I've ever heard of breaking a corporate, well, I've heard of breaking a corporate veil before, but I think that key point, what you said, breaking a corporate veil is very interesting. I think a lot of listeners are going to go back and like, oh my God, I opened an LLC and I did use my social security number at the end of that form. So yeah, it is very eye-opening. That's an eye-opener for myself and other folks who are wanting to create an LLC or who have already created the LLC and already just broken that corporate veil. So
I think I'm not a lawyer, so, and I'm not an accountant, so just
not an accountant myself, not a finance guy.
Right. But I would say generally you want to you know have an EIN number, which is like the social security number of your business, assigned to that LLC. That's kind of, I'm going to say, typical, a possibly recommended structure. So you want to have that entity, which is its own like living entity outside of you, right?
Right.
So when you create good business credit against the EIN number, which is tied to the LLC, we talk about removing personal guarantees. And the other big benefit of doing that is you get much better terms on the loan, much better interest rates, and significantly higher credit limits, 10 to 100x. And that's according to the Small Business Association. That's not my opinion. That's true. So banks consider you, they look at you differently when you're a business with a good credit profile as opposed to a business that's using personal credit to build their business. You know what I mean?
Got it. Okay.
So they're going to take you more seriously, and the benefits are huge. And so what I'd like to do, just to make sure, is people understand that premise. And there is, like I say, there's no manual on this. And there's a few things you need to know, and you know, hopefully people are going to learn something out of this. And there's a way to build business credit on your EIN. We can talk about that briefly too.
Does that make sense? Exactly the next question. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Mary. Thank you for sharing that. The next question I was going to ask is, how do businesses build good credit as you decided? Because we, as personal credit, we build good credit by, you know, paying the bills on time, purchasing things with the credit card, and then making sure you're paying it either by the end of the month or just making sure you're making not just the minimum payment, because the minimum payment, you've got the interest rates is coming on and et cetera, et cetera. But how do businesses build good credit? Is it the same as kind of the same line?
Not the same. Good. No. Yeah. Okay. Nice setup here, man. Nice setup.
How do we do that as a business owner?
Wow. So I think it's important, before I answer that, to understand the differences in business credit and personal credit, and then we can go into how to build.
Okay. Let's do that.
Fair enough. So this is going to blow you away, I think. So this hand is personal credit. Everybody knows. Well, not everybody. Personal credit happens automatically. Once we turn 18, everything we do financially is tied to your social security number, whether you want it or not, good or bad, and you don't have to do anything. It's just, there's a company called LexisNexis. There's multiple companies that just are grabbing your data. People have a complete record of you and all the financial transactions associated with you tied to your social security number once you turn 18. You can't hide anything. But you also don't have to do anything. It just starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the key word is automatic. And what happens is everything you do gets reported automatically to one of the three credit bureaus that are associated with personal credit. You may know that they're TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, right? Again, automatic. You have no control over it. And out of all that and some algorithms and voodoo, you get a FICO score. Right. And the purpose of the FICO score, as most people know, is an attempt to by the credit bureaus to translate how dependable you're going to be as a borrower to a bank so they can make a decision on whether you're credit worthy or not.
Right.
And the sweet spot is around 720, 740. If you're at that, the banks want to talk to you. If you're below that, they don't want to talk to you. Right.
Right.
So most people have an idea of that, and most people have some idea of what their FICO score is.
Mm.
So that's personal credit. Business credit is different. First of all, scoring is different. It's 0 to 100. So it's not the seven, you know, five hundred to 800, whatever. It's 0 to 100. And that's not a real big deal. Secondly, the credit bureaus are different. It's not the same people you're dealing with, okay?
Okay.
There's many of them. We focus on the big three. You got to look good in front of all three, because if somebody pulls your credit report to see if you're credit worthy, you got to look good on all three, because you don't know which one they're going to pull from. And for what it's worth, the three are Dun & Bradstreet is the big gorilla. Most people have heard of them. That's a business credit bureau. And then they're losing market share to two and three, which is Experian Business and Equifax Business. And those two are not, they're different divisions of the Experian and Equifax on the consumer side. So they're totally different credit bureaus, different scoring. That in itself isn't a big deal. Here's what the big deal is, though. Ready? Try to wrap your head around this. So we talked about how personal credit is automatic, don't do anything. In business credit, you have to be intentional about growing your credit. Why is that? Because in business credit, the rules are different. It's not as regulated. It's different lenders. And less than 10% of the good transactions you do, in other words, when you're paying your bills on time, less than 10% of them get reported up to the credit bureaus. Over 90% don't get reported. If you screw something up, 100% of those get reported. So it can hurt you.
Right.
But the good things you do don't necessarily get reflected on the credit bureaus. Why is that? How is that possible?
That's a great
Because the
question.
rules are different. The rules are different, right? They're not incentivized. The lenders and vendors that you are buying and paying as a business are not incentivized to report. The rules are different. The risk model is different. They're different lenders. They're looking at different things. And the cost of money and time, and you know, if there's no reason they should, that they just don't. So if you don't know that, you could be thinking, oh man, if I pay this off, it's gonna help me with my credit score. And in reality, over 90% of that is not going anywhere. And they don't know, you don't know which things you're doing are getting reported and which things aren't. So it's like a complete black hole, complete mystery. And the businesses aren't gonna tell you, you know, you don't go into like, you know, I'm gonna get a business credit card. Do you report to the credit bureau? No one asks that. And the people you're talking to probably have no clue, right? So you gotta know who's reporting and who's not. Otherwise, you're not gonna build that credit that's gonna really boost your company. So that's a big difference. Here's the second difference. In personal credit, you kind of know what you need to do. And then if you start taking business expenses and loans that you're trying to apply for, and you're bootstrapping it against your personal credit, at some point, you're going to have so much debt on your personal profile, it's going to affect your credit score, right? Because there's debt to income ratios, there's all these, you know, all this math that says, you know, this guy has too much debt. We should increase his risk by lowering his score. And what happens? You're going to get higher interest rates that you're going to be charged, and even worse, less approvals, because they're going to say this guy is running his whole business through his personal credit. You know, we can't afford to loan him any more money. So in business credit, here's what the main rule is for business lending. You have to have a demonstrated ability to pay on time, and it has to be reported. And if you do that, they want to give you more. So it's a 180 degree difference in the rationale for lending to a business. If it's reported, now remember, not much is reported. So you got to make sure you got everything hooked up.
Right.
So the transactions you are making are reported, and that's a secret sauce to how to do that. And then you have to pay on time. In fact, if you pay early in the business world, it's even better than just paying on time. And so there's a strategic way to set up accounts that report, get your data lined up. We'll talk more about that in a second. But if you have everything hooked up right and you start spending and paying on time, they want to give you more credit, and it can blossom fast into, like I said, 10 to 100x the loan amount. So thinking about if you're a real estate investor on your EIN, you can significantly increase the amount you're borrowing if you start a track record and you build this up strategically. Okay. Now it takes time, right? But
Absolutely.
you can
Right.
do it. So that's the big difference between personal credit and business credit
With,
on the whole.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, please.
All right. So how do you build business credit then?
There we go. This
That was your real question,
look
right? That
at
was your real question.
you're reading my mind, Mary. It's incredible. Because that's what I was going to ask next. How do you build business credit? How long does this thing take?
Great questions. Great
And
questions.
I think we was talking about just the data, how to set the data up as well. How do we do
100%.
it?
Boy, right on. Great question. But let me give you an example first of how confusing it is and how unfair it is if you don't know this stuff. And then I'll answer that question. You ready?
Okay.
So, you see on TV, you see advertise or people know that there's business credit cards. So you got personal credit cards. We know that that's tied to your social security number. I don't have to explain that. Everyone knows how that works. And I'm not anti-credit card, by the way. I mean, they're a great tool, but you have to use them correctly.
Right.
Then you got business credit cards, and then you got corporate credit cards. Let's talk about business credit cards. So you could apply for American Express has is an example. I don't want to pick on American Express. There are other banks. There's Capital One, then there's there's Spark Card and all this other stuff. But let's just talk about American Express. They have numerous business credit cards. They're calling them business credit cards. And you get the card and it says business card on the card and it has your name. When you apply for the card, what if it's asking you, what is your social security number? So most business cards, not all, but most are tied to your social security number. Unless you look carefully, you got to read the fine print, of course. And most business cards don't report those payments you're making to a business credit bureau. Some of them do, some of them don't, but they're linked to your EIN, but they're really tied to your social security number. So if they don't report to the credit bureau, and if your social security is there, that's essentially a personal guarantee. It's not really a friggin' business card, right? It's really a glorified personal card that has the word business on
Oh
it. I mean, think about that, right? If you
no.
understand based on the brief understanding here of what we talked about. So American Express, as an example, and they're not the only ones, you could have a business credit card and it's not really helping you build your, I mean, you still have the benefits of owning a business credit card, but it's basically similar interest rates, similar rules, and not reporting and not really, and still a personal guarantee effectively by putting your social security number on. So then you have a corporate card. American Express has a corporate card. Now, 80 is the sweet spot. We talked about the scoring on a credit on business credit, 0 to 100. 80 is the sweet spot. It's sort of like 740 FICO, right? So American Express is not helping, and again, I'm picking on them, but they're not helping you build your business credit. But once you hit 80 through however means, which we're going to talk about in a second, then you'll get offers from American Express saying, hey, here's our corporate card. Congratulations, you qualify. And that card is tied to your business EIN. You don't put your social security number on it. And they do report the transactions you make, so it helps build your credit. So how screwed up is this that they don't help you get there? But once you're there, hey, welcome to the club. Here's a, you know what I'm saying? The
They
whole
give you
thing is
work for it,
rigged.
I guess, huh?
The whole thing is rigged against the average person. And if you don't know this, and I don't think people are intentionally screwing you over, but if you don't know how it works, you could be spinning your wheels. Let's just say that.
Yeah,
Okay.
I think
So,
it's a lot of people out there that think they know, right? And
yeah.
they teaching what you just described without not teaching what you described, but teaching, hey, get your LLC, get your EIN. Okay, now get you a business credit card instead of saying, hey, this is what the business credit is looking for. This is what the personal credit is looking for.
100%, man.
No one's ever explained it that way. They just only see the LLC, the business card. Oh, you got a business card. You a big man now. You a
That's
big
right.
man. Go ahead and do your thing. Swipe that thing. They're not going to report it. Meanwhile, they'll still report it on your personal credit. Your personal, you still can be personally liable for any
That's right.
Your credit can, your personal credit can still be hit. So
Oh
that has
yeah.
not been described. Yes.
And
But go ahead.
I don't want to sound like I know it all because I didn't know everything you just said. I didn't know like a year ago. I was introduced to this and I'm like, oh my God, kind of like, where were you 30 years ago? I'm like, I got to tell more people about this because this is unbelievable. It's like a secret, it's like banks don't tell you this. So let me give you a quick story because this is real. A real estate guy told me about this. So you got a real estate audience. So listen to this. This guy had $18 million of real estate assets. This guy was a pretty heavy hitter. He was a builder. He was a mortgage. He owned a mortgage company. He owned a real estate company, but mostly he was an investor. He was building a very nice community. It's somewhere in Colorado. And this is in 2008. I don't know how old you are, but if you know what happened in 2008, right?
The housing market was pretty, got hit pretty hard, really hard in 2008. Yes, please.
Yeah, and it triggered a whole bunch of other. It was a massive. It was kind of like a COVID thing, it was like a global disaster financially, but it was triggered by real estate, overinflated, without going into the details. So this guy had $18 million of real estate. Multiple properties, including he told me he bought a condo on his credit card. But guess what? All of it was personally guaranteed. All of it. And at the time, he didn't know the stuff that we just talked about. And what happened is this disaster hit, and one of his bank, the government came out with this thing called the TARP program. They considered all real estate investments to be risky. And it was the government trying to protect the banks, saying, look, attention all banks. If you have loans for real estate, we will pay you. We, the government, and this is one of the reasons the government debt went way up, we will buy from you any loan you have to a real estate, any real estate loans for 70 cents on the dollar. So, in other words, if you loaned out $1 million, we'll give you 700,000 on that loan and you just turn the loan off because real estate's risky. You might lose everything. We'll at least give you 70%. So one of his smaller loans, this $18 million guy, one of his small loans that was building this community, the bank called him and said, we're pulling that loan because the government's going to give us 70%. He was like, this guy had a perfect record. He was paying everything on time. He had a great reputation. This is no fault to him. And there was no risk that he was ever going to default. He was building. I mean, things were going slower, but everything was, working. And he's like, why would you do that? You can't build, you don't know how to manage building this property. I'm the only guy, I'm the guy who's going to do that. You're going to lose everything. And they said, no, we're going to pull the loan. Now, he didn't know that the government was going to give the bank 70%. He figured that out later. But anyway, bottom line is that single event triggered a domino effect. And every loan he had out there, the bank was like, oh my God, he must have defaulted on that. We got to pull his loan. He lost $18 million over the course of, I don't know, a year or two because of the domino effect, because everything was personally guaranteed. And, he at that point, he started learning about building true business credit against a ZIN without personal guarantees. And so he vowed never to get stuck with a personal guarantee again. And he vowed to tell him, spread the word. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I didn't lose $18 million,
Oh
but
yeah,
you
I
know what
don't
I'm
think
saying?
anybody, on this list of the show, or especially in this seat right here, wants
Yeah.
to lose $18 million as a lesson learned. Like, no, not in over a year. After
Yeah.
everything you built, all of this over years,
Unbelievable.
and
Yeah.
in 1 to 2 years you lose 18 million? No,
You don't want to do that, right? So you don't want to put yourself in a risky position. And remember, this was stuff out of his control. He was a good, right? And so, we had COVID a couple of years ago. Look at the world right now. Pick your disaster. I mean, there's like 50 of them to choose from. Any one of these could trigger something else. So you don't want to put your personal assets at risk. So that's a quick story. Anyway, hopefully that resonated with somebody. Whether you have 18 million or even if you have, 10K, you don't want to risk that. So let's talk about how to build business credit. I mean, you could try to do it on your own, but I'll walk you through the 7-step process, okay? And I'll try to make it quick because I know we're probably going way over here.
Yeah, that's all right. Let's keep it going.
Okay, just shut me down. You know, tell me to shut up. But so step one is the most important. We're building the foundation. Real estate guys, we're building a foundation. Okay, so hopefully that. We got to get the data lined up. There's 125 data points that banks look at. And one of them, just to make it, you know, what does that mean, data point? Well, the most common one is your address, your business address. Mm-hmm. Okay. We got to make sure that all the data points attributed to your business is in sync between your loan application, the Secretary of State where you registered the company, the IRS, any loans you have, your website. Everything's going to line up and on your address to the period, to the comma, to the acronym. Mm-hmm. Everything is going to be in sync. You got to have the same address and it can't be a PO box. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if things don't line up, you're going to get rejected, not because they don't think you can pay the loan, but because it raises a red flag that it might be a fraud situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you don't even know it. You can get rejected and they don't even tell you. When you apply for a loan, rejected. Well, because over here, Secretary of State says Elm Street, but on the loan, you put Elm ST period. Mm. Hey, how do we know if it's the same company? You know how data works. You got to have an exact match.
Got to be the same.
So there's 125 of these type of things. The address is the most understandable and common. A lot of them are dumb. Some of them you'd know. Some of them make sense. Not all of them are applicable to every company. But you got to have all these things set up. And once you do that, and if you work with us, we have a program, a seven step. This is the first step. We'll help you do this. We have a paint by numbers system. But once you do that, that's step one. And it takes about 2 or 3 hours. It's not brain surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a business owner, his 15-year-old daughter did this for him because he was busy running the business. Anyway, once you get that set up, step two is to register with the three big credit bureaus. Make sure they have the same data, right? So that when a transaction happens and it gets sent to the credit bureaus, that's them. You know, it's a link. It's a good handshake, right? And we register with the three big ones. Let me give you a quick story here. People remember stories. So we had this one guy who was pretty well off. He bought a plane on his credit card, which you'd think, wow, this guy, you know, who does that? Two or three weeks later, this is before he was a client, 2 or 3 weeks later, same credit card, he tried to buy a pickup truck, which was like 80 grand, a lot cheaper than a plane.
Right.
And he got rejected. And he's like, yo, I just bought a plane on my credit card and you're telling me I can't buy a truck. What's the deal? Well, the plane, the lender pulled from his Dun & Bradstreet where he had a great number.
Right.
But the second, the truck loan, they pulled from some other credit bureau where he wasn't showing up. That's the importance of looking good on all three. So then he became a client. We fixed that. Mm. But you got to look good on all three anyway, and legitimately. So step two is register with the three credit bureaus. Step three is what we call tier one lending. Set up four tier one lending accounts, taking baby steps. What does that mean? We are partnered with some lenders and vendors, you know, in our back office, if you work with us, that promises to do three things.
Okay.
They only can work with us if they report, if they tell us which credit bureau they report to, because they don't always report to all three. Usually it's one or two, right? So we want to make sure that all three are represented. And number three, they tell us their underwriting rules in advance to make them extremely transparent. So our goal is open up some trade lines with some of our vendors and with stuff that you're already buying. You know, don't change what you're doing. So let's talk about an example of what I'm talking about. Home Depot. Just, you know, a lot of real estate investors have a Home Depot account, or, you know.
Right.
So that's one that everyone can understand. If you go to Home Depot and say, I'd like a business credit card, sure, you know, and they give you the application and it's got your social security number on there. What you need is a corporate card that has net 30. Terms, because those are typically the ones that do report and don't require, you know, you can do it against your EIN. Mm-hmm. So we have Home Depot cards as an example, or we have fuel cards. If you have trucks or cars or something in your business,
right,
we'll set you up with the right card or the right spending element that does report and can be registered against your EIN, not your social security number. So open up four accounts for $50 each, small peanuts, go buy $50 worth of stuff with those accounts, and then pay it off, because they're all net 30, pay it off early. And that's step one. That's baby steps. All right. So it's about a $200 investment of stuff that you're already buying, because we have a breadth of vendors and lenders that hopefully you're going to be able to find something that you're already spending on anyway.
Right.
And open up an account and pay it. That's step, that's tier one credit. Step four now is let's monitor the transaction to make sure that those four transactions we just made went from us to the credit bureaus like they were supposed to, because we already set everything up, right? We set everything up to work, but let's just validate that it did work. Let's just make sure that they showed that those transactions, right? It takes, so all the stuff takes time, you know, a couple months to get to this point. And if everything works as planned, if it doesn't work, we'll figure out why and we'll fix it. But if it does work as planned, now we're good to go. We've validated that everything works. So now the last three steps are building tier two credit, tier three credit, and tier four credit. And those are kind of like rinse and repeat, more trade lines, higher amounts, stuff you're already buying, and make sure it gets reported up and your credit score is going to start building and building and building, because you have a demonstrated ability to pay. And it takes nine to, we tell people 12 months. You can expect to be at an 80 with multiple trade lines, and you're going to look, smell, and feel like Walmart when it comes to the credit bureaus. They're going to want to loan you money. It could be less. It could be less than 12 months, but you know, this is a process, and it takes time to build credit. But we can say that this is the fastest way you're going to get there. And if you don't know all this secret sauce, if you don't know the people you're working with are reporting, you don't know how all this mechanics works, you know. It's not like they're going to tell you. It's not like they're intentionally deceiving you. It's just the food chain along the way doesn't understand the whole thing, right? You got to put the whole story together in an efficient manner. Anyway, does that make sense?
It makes a ton of sense. And that makes me want to jump on right now so you can fix my stuff right now. Get me on the right track, Mary. Get me on the right track. But yes, seriously. No one's ever broken it down to that extent ever before with business credit and being a business owner. Because right now, I could probably tell you it's probably 90 to 95% of the business owners out there only think the business card is going to is what is protecting them. And, and it's really not. It's your personal, you're still personally responsible for anything that goes wrong with it. But getting to that corporate level is where we want to be as real estate professionals, real estate owners. Not just in the business mindset, not just having that business card, but having the actual corporate card is where we want to be. And your steps, your seven steps to get us to one, having that foundation. Two, building that, getting from that foundation, just administrative work, getting to actually, that next step to become a credited, a actual good credit business, a business that has good credit to for you to get the 10x loan, the 5x loan, the 1x, whatever the amount of loan that you need for whatever type of big amount of either real estate that you want to buy or whatever your corporate, the, whatever business that you want to get to the next level. In order for you to get that corporate card, you have to follow the steps that Mary just gave us right now. So I think when
go ahead. Mary. So I just want to just emphasize a couple of things. You're right on. And it's not just cards, right? When you get to, we start with cards.
Right. It's building the credit. That's the
at the end of the day, you when you get to an 80, then it opens up the floodgates. You can get lines of credit, you can get, you know, term loans, SBA loan. I mean, it just opens up so much more. opportunities, including credit cards. It just gives you much more opportunity. The best time to build credit is when you don't need it. And you don't even have to use, just having the ability to borrow a whole lot more when you need it. And knowing when you need it, you're going to get it because you know the under. If you work with our lenders, you know in advance that if I apply for a $100,000 line of credit, if that's what you've gotten up to, you know, in your credit limit, that they're going to approve it because you know in advance what they approve, right? And you know the type of loans that you could qualify for. So think about these. Let me give you two scenarios why this is really cool besides what maybe you've already thinking. Number one, it's great to know you could capitalize on something. How many opportunities? This happens to me a lot. Somebody says, hey, Arsenio, look at this deal. You know, this multifamily deal or whatever. You know, we got, the, you know, and then returns and we, you know, you vetted it out. And you're like, oh man, that is, it's a special situation, but you got to act. And we're not just giving scarcity. You got to act now. And you're like, oh, I wish I had the money. You know, how many times have you turned down opportunities that if you had good credit,
right,
you could have capitalized on something. So just think about that. You know, the ability to act. Credit is a two-edged sword. You don't want to have credit just as if you're going down the tubes, you don't want to keep borrowing because that's going to sink you faster. But if you use it correctly for a specific situation and you run the numbers and you're going to see the cost of borrowing is going to be small compared to the returns,
right?
It always makes, you know, it's something you should consider. Mm-hmm. Second thing I want to say is you're a young guy, but at some point there's going to be a transition. You're going to want to retire. You're going to want to sell your business at some point, even before you retire, maybe, or sell some elements. The EIN is attached to the company. There is a way, and this is not what we do, but there's a way to, if you sell your company or if you give the company or the investment to your family, whichever, that the EIN can stay with the business. So think about this, Arsenio. If you can build up a great profile on the EIN, and you can transfer that EIN with the business when you sell it, that business is going to have that same credit limit. It's going to follow it. So do you think that's going to make the business more attractive or less attractive to a buyer?
Absolutely. More attractive.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the flip side is if you have personal loans that are wrapped up in that business and you try to sell it. When I say business, I mean investment, right? I'm talking about either.
Yeah, understood.
If you have personal loans still, like I borrowed, you know, 50 grand to buy that truck and that, you know, I haven't paid that off yet, but I want to sell the business. Do you think the buyer is going to assume your personal loan for that truck when they buy the business?
No.
Probably not. That's your problem.
Right.
So it gets sticky if your personal finances are mixed in there, and most likely you're going to have to pay those off by any means necessary, which for a lot of people is that's going to come out of the profit that you got from selling the business. So think about the end game. And do you, Arsenio, want to be working until you're 80, or do you want to, you know, you want to be looking good and, you know, be on some beach in Okinawa when you're 50 and, or actually you already are on a beach in Okinawa, but you know, you want to be able to celebrate, you know, and, you know, not have to work. Think about the future, you know, and if you can, think about the transitions you're going to make, because every business ends at some point or moves, you know, or transitions.
Right.
And if you can build up a nice, robust credit profile against that business, it's going to help generate interest. Let's just say that.
Yes.
So a lot of things to consider. And remember, when you're building credit against your EIN, if you do it right, you eliminate the personal guarantees because it's tied. All the activity and the ability to pay those loans is tied to the business. So let's say you do this correctly and some disaster happens, like COVID, and you end up losing your investment, which would be bad, but they're not going to be able to come after your house or your car or your family savings or whatever. It's the damage is going to be contained to the EIN, which is really what you want when you create an LLC. You know, that's the best you could ask for.
Absolutely.
So it's not just the ability to grow the company, but also mitigate risk. And the last thing I'll say, I talk a lot here, man. So
No, it's all right, Mary.
you all right?
No, we're good. We're still
We're
sticking
good.
with it, so.
All right. So I'll wrap it up with this last benefit. There's a lot of benefits to doing this. Any accountant will tell you you don't want to ever want to mix personal and business finances. I mean, I've done that myself, and I'm a freaking finance guy, so I'm not like holier than thou. So this was all, I love sharing this with people because we want to level the playing field. But let's say you do have a lot of business stuff going on against your personal credit, which is hurting your score. If you can get good business credit on your EIN, you can kind of, let's just call it like refinance it and put it on your EIN and take it out of your personal. You want to clean that up.
Wow.
A unintended but good side effect of that is your personal credit is going to improve because it's going to take all this business stuff out, right? And it's going to improve, your debt to income ratios and all that kind of stuff. So you'll be able to use personal credit, you'll have more success with personal credit. That's not really our intent. It's just an unintended positive thing when you can move business credit over to the company and keep it out of your personal laundry, so to speak.
Right.
So pretty cool stuff. You can tell, hopefully you can see I'm passionate about sharing
Oh
this
yeah,
because
absolutely.
I didn't know this. Like I say, a year ago, most CPAs don't know this, most lawyers don't know this, and most bankers don't know this. And if they do, they don't want to tell you because they're in a business of personal guarantees, right?
Right.
So you got to know the right banks. Not every bank, the lenders are different. It's not always the same. If you walk in the front door of a bank, it's probably, like the big banks are not going to tell you this. Bank of America, it's usually the smaller regional banks that you have a chance to get a loan without a personal guarantee against your EIN. Or if you work with us, we have a whole bunch of them, and we can point you to, to some that you could go approach. So hopefully that makes sense.
Absolutely. Again, I'm glad you cleared that up. I kind of stumbled a little bit there in regards to I was stuck on the credit cards just because I know
Yeah.
a lot of us stay stuck on a credit card. But it's all about building credit as a business owner. So that's the key goal is building your credit as a business owner, as you stated.
100%.
Murray, let's just we I know we are getting close to that time, and
Sure.
you shared a lot. And we could probably talk for another hour, 2 hours or so, but because we're close on time, and I want to be respectful of everyone's time, can you share any final thoughts that you have, and share how people can connect with you?
So all I want to say is I'm excited about this because when I heard about it, I'm like, oh, people need to know about this. I think business credit is a secret weapon that's one of the most underutilized resources that a small business can have. It's not going to cure every problem you have, but it's if used correctly, when you have, good business credit, it can really make a huge difference. It can take the blinders off. Most businesses are conditioned to think, oh, I can't get a loan here. I got rejected here. I don't want to guarantee stuff. But if you take the blinders off and you get control over your own, decisions of whether you're going to get credit or not, and you know in advance before you apply that you're going to get approved, it's going to give you the ability to do stuff that you probably hadn't even thought of because you've been stuck in a box, for so long. As a, at a business level, you could hire more marketing. You could hire a CFO or temporary, a virtual CFO, or there's all these things. Buy another truck. It just opens up so much more possibilities. So I encourage people at least to explore it. Ask the question if this is something, that's a good fit for you. As far as reaching out, my name is hard to spell. It's Murray Bollier with Trebuchet Solutions, which is also hard to spell and pronounce. But Arsenio is going to leave my contact info somewhere on here. Connect
We
with me
are.
on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Consume some of the content I have. Ask questions or book a call with us, and we'll see if the our program is a good fit for you, and we'll go from there. But I am super passionate about taking Wall Street strategies to the Main Street businesses out there. So.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary. We'll ensure to include that in the show notes. How to connect with you. how to connect with your company, how to set up a call and everything. Folks, this episode in itself, I think is very, very special when it comes to just when you talk about business credit versus personal credit and how to build business credit. I think this is going to be an awesome episode. This is already an awesome episode. I hope everyone just listens all the way into the end, just because you dropped so many golden nuggets that people can learn and maybe implement, not just maybe, but implement new things in regards to their business and in regards to building their business credit and even fixing their personal credit along the lines as well. So, Murray, thank you
Thanks for
having
me, man.
Today.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you. You came on. You shared a lot. Again, I'm more than likely going to reach out to you again so you can come on again and share even further information and just get the audience in the right direction when it comes to business credit or even personal credit. Thank you so much for your time, Murray.
Welcome, man.
Appreciate you. And
thanks for your service. Keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. No problem. Thank you for your service. I appreciate you.
Sure. Sure.
I'll see you on the other side, brother.
Our fellow action takers, thank you for taking time out of your day and listening to today's podcast. After you gain valuable insights from our episodes, I invite accredited passive investors to explore potential investment opportunities. If you're looking to diversify your portfolio with carefully curated real estate investment opportunities, then please, I'd love for you to reach out to me in order for us to discuss how you can join us on our exciting ventures. You can reach out to me via Instagram at @TheArsenioHart. You can reach out to me via email, ArsenioHart_25@yahoo.com, or on LinkedIn and Facebook, just plain old Arsenio Hart, ArsenioHart. It's been a pleasure, and I'll see you next time.